You'd think that as a video game podcaster and comedian, my life is all fun and games. And honestly, you'd be right. About 90% of the time, it's pretty sweet. But every morning, I deal with something very, very serious. My face. You don't become an Edmonton Six overnight. It takes work. And in my case, it takes good facial hair. And fortunately, I have a great facial hair tag team partner in Harry's. Hit up harrys.com/RTG for a $3 trial set and see what I'm talking about. Harry saw the tire fire that the shaving market had become and asked, how did it get like this? Crappy plastic razors, overpriced blades, all locked up like gold bars. And they said, no, we can fix this. And damn it, they did. Harry's ships premium quality razors right to your door. About once a month, I check my mail and there's that little box with everything I need to keep my kid presentable status. The blades stay sharp longer, which means an easier time getting my face in order in the morning. And the razors don't look like a dumb piece of plastic that a junior high schooler uses to take care of their peach fuzz. You have the facial hair of a man now. Shave like one. I actually leave my razor handle on the bathroom counter all the time just because it looks so damn classy. Harry's blades are German engineered and they're made to last. They're the best blades on the market for the best price, and you don't even have to go out to get them. Set your delivery schedule and shave like a king. I know it sounds sarcastic, but I'm being serious. I've used Harry's forever. These blades are really freaking good. Highest reviews in the industry, a money back guarantee that you're not going to need, and a subscription that you can cancel anytime you want. Getting ripped off isn't funny. Switch to Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/RTG. That's harrys.com/RTG for a $3 trial set. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Remember the Game. It is my retro gaming podcast where every week a buddy of mine and I sit down and geek out about games we played back in the day. My name is Adam Blank. Thank you so much for listening. You know what? This isn't my podcast. This is our podcast. So thank you all for being part of this stupid little show that wastes an hour of all of our weeks every 7 days. You guys, we're talking this week for episode 76. We are talking WWF WrestleFest, the arcade game. So excited to be dipping back into the arcade. So excited to be talking old wrestling. So excited to be talking with my pal, Brad Warren, my guest again this week. Now, just quickly, I got a lot to get to this week before we get to the talking about WrestleFest. This is kind of a guinea pig run, okay? Brad and I did this one via phone. So I recorded it through my mixer, plugged the phone in. I think it sounds okay. Obviously, you're going to be able to tell the guys on the phone. We just were not able to get together face to face. And I want to see what you guys think of this. All right. And I mean it legitimately. If you guys, if you think it's not listenable, please tell me why. Don't just write and say the show sucks. I know the show sucks. Tell me why it sucked. If you think it's passable and you could hear it, let me know, because I've got some great guests I could do some interviews with, but I got to do them over some kind of phone or something. And I'm just curious to see. I mean, I'm looking at other options. I know my pal Josh from Press Start to Join mentioned another system I'm looking at, but I tried this one over phone. I think it sounds okay. It's not perfect. Let me know what you think, okay? If you don't want to listen to my rambling for a few minutes, there's a timestamp in the description box below to tell you where to go to just get to the talk about WrestleFest, but I suggest you hang around because I'm going to give some shout-outs. I got some Nintendo news, some old video game news. I got lots to talk about, so I'm going to shut the fuck up and talk about it. You know I'm going to quickly plug the Patreon, but listen, I'm not just going to plug the Patreon this month. We just released an episode about Pokemon Sword and Shield, which is getting some really good feedback. There's 11 bonus episodes in there now, 6 games, 5 Q&A rambling ones. It's only $2 a month. You're going to get access to all those. You're also going to get entered into a draw to win a prize, just like new Patreon Ryan White did, who won $25 to spend on the PlayStation Network however he sees fit. And that's $25 US, so that's like $80 here in Canada. That's a big fucking deal. And he got that for $2. And you're going to get a shout out on the show. And I'm going to quickly rip through some shout outs here right now to all the people that support the show on Patreon. So big thank you very, very much to Andre and to Andre, Andy Baker, Benjamin Barlow, Bradley McHugh, Taco Shirt Chris, Chris Sumner, Daniel Brooks, Dave, James Clark, Jeffrey Mathis, Joe Buck, John Taylor, Josh from Press Start to Join, Freezer Burnt, Keegan Wilson, Lord Egbert, Luke Simpson, Mark McHugh, Michael Mathis, Nigel, Robert Lippa, Ryan White, Shaley and Ben, Sharonic, Thomas Christian, Todd, Tyler, and literally just snuck in on the Patreon about 20 minutes before I recorded this, Dustin Little. Thank you so much, you all, for supporting the show. You're all goddamned heroes. Not just in my book, but in society's book, I think. So if you would like to be interested or mentioned in those shout-outs, you'd like to get extra episodes of the show, and you'd like to get entered into a chance to win prizes, patreon.com/rememberthegame. It's $2 a month. I won't talk about it anymore this week. Done. Thanks, guys. What do we have? We're only 3 minutes. We're doing okay. Okay, retro gaming news. I actually have some retro game news, which is like, I'm telling you, like, I always try to fill the intro with retro game news, but believe it or not, there's not a ton of news about fucking games that came out 20, 30, 40 years ago. But there is some retro game news this week, and that is that Nintendo is at, god damn it, and I forgot to get the date that the games are actually going live. God, I suck at this. Sometime in the next few days, it may have already even happened, Nintendo is going to be adding some games to their Nintendo Online service. If you don't own a Nintendo Switch, you've probably, if you've listened to this show for any length of time, you've heard me fucking rant about it already, but Nintendo doesn't just give us their old games anymore. Like, instead of letting us buy them, they put them out a couple at a time on kind of like a little drip, and you pay for like $20-25 a year for the Nintendo Online service, and part of that is you can play all the games. And listen, I like 90% of the Nintendo Online service. It's cheaper than PlayStation and Xbox, so you can't expect as good a system. Now we're up to over 50 NES games, and there's almost 25 Super Nintendo games with save states, ability to play them online with your friends, all that stuff. Pretty rad, and a lot of great games. And like, dude, it's 20, like, in Canada, it's $25 a year, okay? If I was to just buy these games, like, I mean, what were they selling them for on the Wii U and stuff? Like $8, I think, for a Super Nintendo game and $5 for an NES game. I'd have like 3 or 4 of them, and I would have already spent this money. And instead, I've got, between the 50-plus NES games and the 20-plus Super Nintendo games, I've got almost 80 games sitting there to play. And of those 80, there's a good 30 or 40 that are like worth playing. So anyway, Nintendo hasn't added any games since September when they rolled out their original Super Nintendo lineup, and they are adding some new games, and I want to quickly mention them. On the NES Online, they are rolling out Crystalis and Journey to Silius or something. And if you don't feel bad if you don't know what those are, don't go looking through our archives for an episode about either of those games, because I don't know what the fuck they are either. But they're two more NES games, so that's kind of cool. They're two more games that I'll probably never play. Now, the Super Nintendo, they brought the heat with some of these fucking games. I'm a little surprised we didn't get Donkey Kong Country with the anniversary of it just passing and everything, but that's okay. They can't. I think they learned their lesson with the NES. They can't just drop all of the best games at once, and then they'll be fucked for like 8 months until they figure out what they're going to do next. So they're giving us a couple good games every few months. There's some good fucking games here, you guys. Coming to the SNES Online service here in the month of December, you've got Star Fox 2, the sequel to the critically acclaimed Star Fox, which was previously unreleased and then only ever released in North America on the Super Nintendo Classic Edition that you probably could never buy anywhere because, you know, because Nintendo. So that's pretty cool. I'm not a huge Star Fox fan. I never did play Star Fox 2 on my original Super Nintendo Classic, but I might give it a chance just to see. Breath of Fire 2. I have not played the Breath of Fire games. My understanding is that this is the good one, or this is where it starts to get good. I don't know. It's another RPG. Dude, I mean, even a bad Super Nintendo RPG is still a good RPG, is it not? So Breath of Fire 2, Star Fox 2, and then two phenomenal games from my childhood I'm so fucking excited to have on the go. First up is Kirby Superstar. I'm not the world's biggest Kirby fan. Kirby's Adventure on the NES was rad. A couple of the Kirby's Dream Land games are okay. Kirby Superstar is, for my money, probably the best Kirby game. It is a compilation game. There's like a regular Kirby game in there. There's like these mini games and stuff. It looks gorgeous with its 16-bit graphics. I played the shit out of Kirby Superstar as a kid. So that game is coming into Super Nintendo Online. And so is one of the most criminally overlooked games in the Super Nintendo library, Super Punch-Out. I fucking love Super Punch-Out. Here's a hot take for you, and I don't give a shit if you like it or not. Super Punch-Out is better than the regular Punch-Out, and I don't even think it's close, frankly. I fucking adore... Okay, no, it is close. The original Punch-Out's pretty good, too. I fucking adore Super Punch-Out. When I got my hands on my Super Nintendo Classic, that was the first game I beat. And my favorite game of all time, Super Mario World, is sitting on my Super Nintendo Classic. But I went to Super Punch-Out because it takes everything Punch-Out did and makes it fucking better. The only problem for me from the original Punch-Out to the Super Punch-Out is that Super Punch-Out is only one round. In the original NES one, I think you had three rounds to win your fight. Otherwise, it went to like a decision or something. This one, you got 3 minutes to win a fight, and that's it. But the characters are huge. The graphics are fucking gorgeous. The gameplay is great. I love Rick and Nick Bruiser. There's going to be an episode eventually on this podcast about Super Punch-Out, and I'm going to struggle mightily to not just give it a perfect 10. I'm so fucking excited to have that game on my Switch online. If you have a Nintendo Switch and you have the online service and you've never played Super Punch-Out, fucking play it. It is so good. And it's more beatable than Mike Tyson's Punch-Out, like not nearly as hard. You can beat this one, I promise. So new games to Nintendo Online. That's pretty rad. I honestly, you know what? If they roll them out every 3 months, but they give us a couple of heavy hitters like this every month moving forward, then I'm fine with that because there's more than enough to play as it is. That's just like a little extra bonus when you're, you know, sitting around with nothing to play. You fire up an old Super Nintendo game and dig through it. Particularly like getting ready for episodes of the show, it's nice to have them on the go where I can just fire it up, play for a couple hours, and kind of refresh my mind or my memory on some of these games. So good job, Nintendo. That's fucking pretty rad. And speaking of companies adding games to their systems with more news, it just came out that Untitled Goose Game is coming to PlayStation and Xbox. And if you don't know what it is, it's this little indie game that came out on the Switch earlier this year, and I haven't played it yet. I've had a ton of people messaging me, telling me I should play it, including friends of mine, people on the show, Patreons of the show, strangers on social media. My understanding is you just control a goose, and you run around and cause mayhem. And it sounds fucking hilarious. It looks cool. It's just one of those ones that kept slipping down my depth chart on my Switch, but it's coming... It's coming to Game Pass in like 2 days on my Xbox. I'm probably going to fire it up, give it a chance. So if you've been waiting for a chance to play Goose Game, or maybe you don't own a Switch, but you've seen someone talking about Goose Game, check it out, because it's coming to everything in a couple of days, and it's supposed to be pretty rad. And it's an indie game, and that's something I wanted to quickly touch on too. Nintendo just ran an indie direct like 3 hours ago, advertising some of their upcoming indie games. I'm not really going to get into that too much. I mean, this, you guys know, you can go find the good podcasts. They'll give you the news and stuff like that. But I love a lot, eh? Haven't I? I'm like been sitting here rambling about how much I like Nintendo Online, rambling about how much I love the Patreons. I love Super Punch-Out. I love Kirby Superstar. But I fucking love indie games, man. Like my game of the year last year was Hollow Knight. And I don't know if it actually came out in 2017 or 2018, but I played it in 2018. That game took over my life, and I fucking adored it. Like, I just made a quick list of just some of my favorite games over the last couple of years that are all indie games. Hollow Knight is absolutely incredible. The SteamWorld games, I've played both SteamWorld Digs and SteamWorld Heist. They were all fucking sick. Rogue Legacy is an absolutely phenomenal roguelike game. Spelunky, the Darkest Dungeon is an RPG roguelike that's fucking great. Guacamelee 1 and 2 are like two of the best Metroidvanias not called Hollow Knight. They're about this like Mexican lucha libre wrestler that can turn into a chicken. And yep, no, it makes complete sense. It's awesome. Into the Breach is a phenomenal tactical strategy like board game type game that I can't recommend enough. I think it's my second or third most played, like longest played game on my Switch. Celeste, which we just talked about on the Patreon, is a fucking gem. That's available on systems. And Shovel Knight, you guys, Shovel Knight is available everywhere. I have bought it on 3 consoles. I bought it on my Vita, I bought it on my 3DS, and I own it on my Switch. The only reason we haven't done a Patreon episode about Shovel Knight yet is because I can't bring myself to not give it a 10. I fucking adore Shovel Knight so much. So that's just a few of a huge list of great indie games. And I'm so excited to see more and more games going to different consoles. Quickly too, on the indie thing, they announced Axiom Verge 2 is coming at the end of 2020 to the Switch. And if you haven't played Axiom Verge, it's another Metroidvania. It's fucking rad. Very old school looking, pretty tough, but it's fun. It's on everything. It's dirt cheap. Check that out as well. Hotline Miami, those games, like, oh, so many indies, man. They're fucking great, and they're so cheap, and they're so fun, and just support those companies. They're on everything. They're fucking awesome. I'm so excited. Like, I love seeing exclusives disappearing and seeing games available on everything. Like, it just came out that MLB's The Show, the baseball franchise, the predominant baseball franchise in sporting games, is not even close. For my money, the best sporting games on the market that have been PlayStation exclusive forever are going to be coming to other consoles, I believe, in 2021. Xbox is tweeting about it. It looks like they might be coming to Switch too. I've almost bought a PS4 again just to go back to playing the show. And part of the reason I haven't is because it's an ungodly addiction for me and I can't stop. So it's just so rad seeing games getting onto more and more systems, you know? Like there's 100 million plus PlayStation 4s out there, and then another 40 million Switches, another 40 million Xboxes out there. That's 180 plus million consoles out there in the wild. If you're a game developer and you can get your game on all three of those instead of just on a 50% or less of them, why wouldn't you, right? So, break down the walls of exclusives. Give us all the games. I'm so excited about all the, I love games. And then finally, before I get into what have I been playing this week, speaking of how my I have so many games and the list keeps getting longer, I finally hacked my PlayStation Classic. I spent a few days playing with it, and oh boy, just quickly, okay, listen, and if you're not a tech nerd, maybe this won't make sense to you. It didn't make any sense to me either. I had read so much about how easy it is to hack the PlayStation Classic, and I managed to hack my NES and my SNES one. So I was like, okay, well, if this one sounds easier to hack than those two were. And just quickly, if you've never heard my thoughts on ROMs, if you put your game out there, if you're a game maker and you put your retro game out there and I can give you some money for it and I want to play it, I will. But a lot of the games I'm adding to these systems are games that I just can't get my hands on anywhere else and I want to play them. So if you don't put them out anywhere, then I can't give you my money. So then I have no problem with ROMing in that case. So it said all you have to do is get a USB flash drive and then you fill it up with games and you plug it into the second controller port on the PlayStation Classic and you're good to go. And I thought, well, all right. Well, that sounds easy. I found a long list of USB drives that seemed to work and I thought one that I thought worked. I got a 64 gigabyte SanDisk Ultra something or other. And then it said I have to format it to a FAT32 format, which apparently you can't do if it's a 64 gig fucking flash drive. I didn't know that, or at least I couldn't. So then I had to download another program and look up how to convert it to a FAT32. Then I added this Bleem Sync, this program to it. That was pretty easy. Shout out to everyone involved in that, because like I don't know who makes those things, but this system works cool once you get it working. Then I had to go find ROMs. So then I get some ROMs, and I'm not going to tell you where to get them. You guys go to Reddit and stuff, look up the message boards. Just be careful. Don't just go Google ROMs and then download all of them, because there's viruses and shit out there, and they'll take your money and all that good stuff. So then I go find some ROMs, and then I get them, and then they are 7Z files, which I don't know what the fuck that is, but then apparently I had to get a program to unzip the 7Z files, so I go and get that, unzip them, find the information. Finally got it on my PlayStation. I know that sounds very simple to you guys, but I am computer illiterate. It's been a long fucking process. But I finally got them working last night. I still can't get the cover art to work. So when I scroll through my PlayStation menu, my PlayStation Classic menu, they just have the like a Bleem Sync logo or something. I can't get the box art to work. I don't really care about that. I'll fuck around with it a little more. And if I can't get it to work, I don't care. I can play games. That's what matters. So I've added Resident Evil 2 and 3. I've added some Tony Hawk games. I'm going to go back and add a whole bunch more tonight. Resident Evil 2 and 3 are on my short list. They have to get played, particularly 2, because I know you guys want it covered on the podcast here. And then just quickly, I'm going to ask you guys, if you know anything about technology, check out the Facebook page. I'm going to post some stuff over there while this podcast goes live. I cannot get my capture card. I have an AverCapture AverMedia HD GL310, I think, going into an Acer something laptop. And it won't record gameplay for more than a few minutes at random. It stops at random intervals. And I have no idea why. I've tried recording it to my MacBook. I've tried recording it to my computer, my Acer, and I've tried recording it to an external hard drive. All three of them, it quits at random times. And I don't know that it's quit. Like, it'll keep the counter going. Like, it's recorded for 40 or 50 minutes. It quits anywhere from like 2 minutes to 20 minutes in. And I don't know why. And I'm just looking for advice. If anyone can tell me how the fuck to fix it, I will shout the shit out of you on this podcast. So I'll post it on my Facebook, guys. Facebook.com/rememberthegame. I'm just looking for advice. I can't get the Let's Plays to work until I get this goddamn capture card to work. So good enough. That's a long intro. I'm going to shut the fuck up. What have I been playing over the last 7 days? Not very much. I've been on the road like crazy. I edited the Patreon exclusive Pokemon episode on Monday at an A&W with their fucking Wi-Fi, sitting there drinking coffee surrounded by old people, because I have not been home to edit anything. I have been playing a little bit of The Outer Worlds on my Xbox. I went from loving it to liking it to being pretty meh on it. I'm not even sure if I'm going to finish it now. I got too much other stuff to play. Concept is rad. Game is kind of boring to me. I've been playing Banjo-Kazooie. I'm going to save my thoughts on that for an episode here on the podcast, but so far so good. And I've been playing Metal Gear Solid on my PlayStation Classic, partially because it's fun, partially because I've been using it as my demo to record gameplay and try to get my fucking capture card to work, and it isn't working. So That's what I've been playing over the last 7 days. We're at about 20 minutes. I got to shut the fuck up. We're going to talk WWF WrestleFest, you guys. I love pro wrestling, as you know. I also love video games. Speaking of pro wrestling, wrestling with wrestling, not wrestling with wrestling, because those already exist, apparently. Wrestling with Wrestling, my new wrestling podcast, goes live January 3rd, 2020. You can follow us on social media at WW Wrestling Pod. We'll follow everybody back. Let's make it successful and all be friends and have fun. But yeah, I love pro wrestling. I love video games. And I love one of my best pals on the planet, Mr. Brad Warren, who is my guest this week. We're going to talk the arcade classic. I am going to cue some music. And again, I hope the sound works, guys. We were on the phone doing this. If it sucks, please tell me why. If it's good, please tell me you liked it. I have some great guests lined up. I just need to figure out how to do some podcasting with them, and I hope that this is okay quality. If you're new to the show and you don't like this quality, the 75 previous episodes aren't like this, so go check them out. You guys, WWF WrestleFest hit arcades in June of 1991 during the peak of the fucking cartoony pro wrestling era we all knew and loved. Shut up, Adam. Sit back, relax, enjoy the episode, guys. Let's talk WrestleFest. Here we go. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Podcasting's a weird job because I talk to you nerds all the time. Every day, I tell you all about my life, the good and the bad. The ugly, I kind of keep that offline. And it's not that I don't want to talk about it. I'd love to talk about it. I just need to pick and choose who I talk to. We all have stuff that just lives in our minds, rent-free, 24/7. Talking about them can really help because the longer you keep something bottled up, the more likely it is to blow. You've heard me say it before, and you're going to keep hearing me say it. Therapy is the way. Therapists can be that ear to bend when you really need to get something off your chest and don't know who to talk to. And BetterHelp is a great way to go about it. I don't BS you guys. I don't say I've used something if I've never used it. I've personally talked to a BetterHelp therapist about the stuff going on in my personal life, and I genuinely found it helpful. To have someone to talk to that doesn't have any skin in the game, that can just listen and try to help me come up with a roadmap to get through the tough times, it's just invaluable. It has seriously really helped me. I've talked to my therapist through video, and you can do it that way, or you can do it over the phone, or even just over chat. And they give you as many schedule options as possible so you can work a session in around your life. It's licensed therapy, as convenient as it gets. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/rememberthegame today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/rememberthegame. So this is you're the guinea pig, Brad, and there's two reasons for this, you guys. First is that due to the restrictions on travel, it's just hard for us to get face-to-face to record these things, and the other reason we're doing it by a phone is because, frankly, we can't much stand the sight of each other, and that is me and my guest this week via phone technology, my pal Brad. How you doing, buddy?
Good, man. How are you?
I'm good, and you guys just hope it works. If people hate this episode, I hope it's because they hate us and not because of the audio quality.
Or, yeah, hate technology. This isn't us. It's technology.
Yeah, we're great. And you certainly can't hate the game this week.
No.
And that is like,
no,
dude.
No,
I can't. Honestly, when I launched the show, I was excited to talk wrestling games. And I was like, I didn't think this one would ever get on the show because I didn't know that many people that played it. I didn't play it that much.
When you said you didn't play it that much, I'm like, what? What? Really?
Yeah.
Every time, man, Millwoods Town Center Arcade. Millwoods. Just walk in there. It was fantastic. They had pole position. You could sit down and drive in that arcade. and then WrestleFest came in, and that was it, man. Four-way play. Come on.
If you're not from Edmonton, you don't know where he's talking about. But, like, Brad grew up on the mean streets of Millwoods. That is, you don't fuck with Brad, man. He'll mess you up. Millwoods is bad.
You know it.
Yeah, Millwoods is tough turf. That's the word I'm looking for.
Yeah, there you go.
But they had arcades. I didn't grow up around an arcade, so I didn't, like, I'm trying to think about it. I'm like, the only arcade game I think we've covered so far is Street Fighter 2. And the main reason I played that is because I've also played it at home.
Right.
So that's the first point I wanted to bring up for this game. This is a goddamn, this is a damn good wrestling game. How the fuck?
100%.
How did this never get ported to a home console?
Well, I think you dock marks right there for it. Like, you can't take it away from the arcade game, but how did anybody not see this as the 90s version of what the video game should have been? Like, don't get me wrong, that Genesis game was very close, but then you had the stupid tombstone that would appear and that bullshit.
Oh, yeah, WrestleMania?
I think it was Royal Rumble, I believe it was.
Well, no, because I had Royal Rumble and Raw for the SNES, and they were the ones where they had that, like, that little colored meter where you'd mash buttons to try to fill up the meter so you could do a move.
Yes.
And then there was, like, the really arcadey one that was on, like, PlayStation and stuff, where, like, Undertaker's hand would glow and, like, Bret Hart would kick people and the hearts would fly out and stuff like that. But this one, like, the thing is, dude, is, like, I liked Royal Rumble. I had Royal Rumble for my Super Nintendo, and at the time, I was like, well, this is infinitely better than any of the NES wrestling games. I was like, this is pretty cool. But then you play this, and this game, like, I understand they probably would have had to dumb down the graphics and stuff, but I'm like, dude, if you could port, like, the Turtles arcade game and some of those games to, like, to home consoles, there's no way that you couldn't have ported this. I don't know if it was, like, a licensing thing with the wrestlers, and maybe by the time they were ready to port it to home consoles, some of the wrestlers' licenses were up or what, but I have no idea how this didn't end up on home consoles, because this would have sold fucking gangbusters.
Well, here, and the number one thing, I will say this, and it is a fact, if you look at the $1 million dream in this game, when he applies it, it is top graphics.
Right.
I am not lying to you. It looks phenomenal. He's pulled the arm over. He's got the arm underneath. It's ridiculous how good this game looks.
Yeah.
And I agree with you. It's so bright and colorful, and you just... I don't know why. There is no, you and I both admitted that we had to do a little bit of homework today to nail down some things about this game. And there's nothing about it why it didn't port, which is kind of, again, it's shocking to me.
Yeah,
I don't know why.
It chaps my ass. But then, like, if you get to the good stuff, and you already brought it up, and, like, it's the absolute high point. I mean, there's a lot of cool things about this game. There's some not good stuff, but there's a lot of good stuff about this game. And, like, to me, the number one thing is the graphics. Cause I literally, like, you and I played this at a bar, like, a year or two ago at Denizen.
Yes.
And I was like, God damn, this still looks good today. And, like, watching the footage of it today, like, getting ready for this podcast, I was like, I think most people look at the Nintendo 64 era as, like, the peak of wrestling games.
Yeah,
probably deservedly so, but I'm like, I'm looking at this game right now and I'm like, dude, this looks better than the Nintendo 64 games. I get that.
Well, like, when we joked about it, like, there's a part of the PlayStation 2 it looks better. Like, some of the graphics from that polygon look to it were awful. I sent you a couple of memes of The Rock and his head and neck are one, and it's just, it's one big square. It's ridiculous looking.
Yeah, it's fascinating to me that, like, I'm looking at these images of WrestleFest and I'm like, it's like, they didn't go for complete realism, but they also didn't go completely cartoon. Like, I don't know how I would describe it, because I'm like, it's like a realistic looking cartoon. It is so, like, bright.
There's so much more detail in their, like, faces and everything compared to, like, WCW versus NWO. Like, those games are, you and I, we've already done a podcast on one of them.
Yeah, go back to the archives, by the way, guys.
Yes. Free plug right there.
Yeah.
And, no, but with sitting there and, like, you go and you look at Ric Flair, can't say that name. You go look at Goldberg in that game, and then you look at Earthquake.
Yeah.
Or Boss Man. Like, the detail of Boss Man and, like, his outfit and, like, the Warrior's hair moving.
Dude,
he runs off the ropes.
I'm literally looking at an image right now where Hulk Hogan is gorilla pressing Ultimate Warrior while the big boss man is pinning Sergeant Slaughter. And all four of them, like, it's like within a half a second, you'd, like, I you could eliminate the top health bars for Slaughter and Hogan here, and I still know exactly who all four of them are. They all, like, I mean, when you play, like, Royal Rumble or Raw on, like, the 16-bit consoles, with the exception of the Yokozuna skin, because they made, like, their own, like, he's the big fat skin.
Yes, yeah,
they basically just took, like, a straight up skin and then put different colors and different hair on them. And, like, these ones, like, nah, dude, like Boss Man looks a little pudgy here, and he's got his full cop outfit. And
right,
like, Sergeant Slaughter's balding and, like, looks a little pudgy, but Hogan and Warrior look jacked, and Earthquake looks phenomenal in this game.
Yes, with the beard and the hair. And again, when he runs, the little hair moves. Like, it's just the small details that, again, that we're talking about a game that came out in 91, which, by the way, is freaking me out that that's almost 30 years ago.
I know, that's crazy, hey?
I can't get over that.
I've said it on here before, but I still feel like 10 years ago was the 90s.
Yes.
And by the time this episode of the show goes live, it might be 2020.
Right.
It's fucking nuts. So it looks phenomenal. Like, dude, when I think of, I mean, because you're a wrestling fan from back in those days, and like, and yeah, I love old school. Yeah. Like, when you think of old school wrestling, like, it always felt kind of cartoon. Like, it always felt kind of bigger than life. Like, the Hogan Warrior Boss Man, like, the wrestlers that are in this game. And they found a way to make them look like a cartoon without making them not look real. Like, there was that fucking Wrestling All-Stars game that came out a few years ago.
Yes.
And I never played it. I never played it. But they made everyone look cartoony, like they were oversized and huge. And they didn't do that with this one. It looks so, like, I get that it's an arcade and they weren't tied to, like, the 8-bit NES fucking, like, hardware limitations. But goddamn, like, this game looks so good.
Oh,
I love it.
Like, that's the thing is like, you remember when they would come down the aisle for the Royal Rumble, or you'd see it in the corner, like they would have the promos in the, in the screens.
Yeah.
And like, even like, look at the corner guys. That's the key thing too. Their faces in the corner are spot on perfect. Like graphics wise, it's a 10 out of 10. There's nothing wrong with it.
Yeah, I agree with that. Cause that's what I was going to say. Like, and that's, I wouldn't call this a knock on this game because, first of all, it was an arcade game. You're not going to put a deep career mode in an arcade game. People are going to go, they're going to pump in some quarters, lose, and that's going to be it. This game doesn't have a ton of depth. You can either play the Royal Rumble or you can play Saturday night's main event, which I'm kind of surprised that you can't choose between like a singles. Basically it becomes like a fighting game, like a Street Fighter or anything, where you just fight through the ladder of opponents and try to get to like the boss fights. It's only tag team. And that's like, I get why you would put tag team in, but I'm shocked that they wouldn't put a singles mode in it.
That would have been quite simple because you were missing guys, right? Like, you had Animal and Hawk, the Road Warriors, that you couldn't play as.
Yeah.
But then you could have made, I don't know, like in the early 90s, you could have made Andre the champion. You know what I mean? Like, they, and then you get to him.
But I
agree with you that there's no depth to the game, but easily makes up for it.
Yeah, my only thought, like, and I just thought of this looking at the screenshots, is like, because it's a 4-player arcade game, and so at any point it says like, you know, push one button buy in, push two button buy in. If you made it so people could play 1-on-1, that eliminates two people that can't walk up and drop a quarter in, and that's probably what their thought is, it's money.
My God, right? That's almost mind blowing to think about that. That's the smart play.
But that is, you know, you want to keep it at four people so that you can pump four quarters in at any time, right?
Well, as a minimum, you're getting 50 cents if you got two guys playing.
Right.
You got to also remember that they could change the pricing. That game could become 50 cents.
Oh, those fuckers. Or now it's the tokens where you got it. It's like $1 a token.
They don't even tell you how much a token is worth.
Fucking bars these days. But the alternative, like, because there's no other way to play this game. You either download the ROM and hack it into, like, a home cabinet or whatever, or you shell out, like, $1,500 for an old machine. So, like,
Which you and I have found on Kijiji when we used to work together.
Yeah, which we've talked about, yeah. So, like, if I have to go to a bar and shell out $3 to play a game of WrestleFest, it's like, all right, I get it. Oh, there's my other line. See, this is the problem with trying to... Send a voicemail. There's the problem with recording on a phone. Is I was like, normally I mute my phone. Now I've lost my... Oh, yeah, okay. This is what I want to talk about. Before we get into the two modes, I was going to say all the game modes, but there's only two. I just quickly wanted to go over the roster to this game. Because, like, there are obviously people missing from this that I wish were in it. Now, keep in mind, like Brad said, like, I just looked it up. This game released in North America June 1991. Okay? You can play as 10 wrestlers. Hulk Hogan, Ultimate Warrior, Million Dollar Man, of course. Big Boss Man, of course. There's four. Jake the Snake Roberts, sure. Earthquake, yep. Mr. Perfect, Sergeant Slaughter, Smash and Crush, but not X from Demolition, which is, maybe he was like leaving or something. I have no idea. And then Hawk and Animal, the Legion of Doom, are the non-selectable, like, boss characters.
I need to cut you off for 1 second just because I just realized something here that is mind-blowing. And it would have made perfect sense to make it for the... one player mode if they were going to do a Saturday Night's Main Event. There's no Savage.
Yeah, so that's like that. Like to me, that's the number one. Because like I was going over like just in my mind some of the wrestlers that are missing from this. Because like you could point out like a Shawn Michaels, but I think he was even still in the Rockers at this point. I don't even think
yeah,
he was. Like,
oh,
I don't,
for sure.
You know, but Macho Man to me, I mean, obviously Andre would have been cool, but okay. Well, Macho Man is the big one.
And here's the thing too: is that we're to go back to the point about the graphics alone. We're forgetting to mention the originator of this game, Superstars.
Yeah, right.
And if you look at Superstars, to go back to the graphics for 1 second, if you look at Superstars graphics and then you look at WrestleFest, it's actually drastically better.
Right.
And I know for sure in that game.
Oh yeah. I just looked at a picture of it, and yeah, holy fuck.
Yeah. There was Andre the Giant was in that game.
Yeah.
There was the Honky Tonk Man and Randy Savage.
Yeah.
You add those three guys right there alone to this game. Oh my God. Like,
yeah.
And you know, there's also like Roddy Piper. Like there's a lot to the roster that for sure you wonder why they didn't either go. I know why they didn't go bigger, because they probably were thinking, well, 2 years from now we can pump out another game.
Yeah. That's probably part of it. Yeah. Yeah. And I'm not going to even pretend to know how this works. I do know they have to pay some kind of licensing fee for this. I don't know if they pay the WWF a flat rate and get access to the roster, or if they're paying like per character to get some of these guys. I really don't know. Mm-hmm. But yeah, there's certainly like, well, there's a lot of guys missing, but I guess at the end of the day, like, I mean, like Hogan, Warrior, the Million Dollar Man, Big Boss Man, like Hogan, as long as you've got Hogan and Warrior, like, and I hate fucking both of them with a passion. But as long as you've got those two, like, yeah, you're probably okay. Macho Man and Honky Tonk Man are the two that bug me.
Yeah, but and I also would have put Andre in it just for the fact.
And Andre, yeah, of course, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. When you look at the roster and everything like that, it's, again, we just talked about it, but can you imagine the port to a system like the Genesis or Super NES?
Yeah.
And the roster they could have used and built, because there's no way that this game couldn't go on with one of those systems. Like, there's no way.
No, yeah, of course. I'm still blown away by that. Like, Raw and Royal Rumble suck compared to these. So the roster is cool, good enough. The graphics are rad. So then you get into the gameplay modes, and then, like we said, so there's Saturday night main event, because this is before Monday Night Raw or anything, which is, that's fucking weird to me to think of a time before Monday Night Raw. But
there's only Superstars of Wrestling on Saturday.
Right.
So Superstars.
Right. So you play Saturday night's main event, and you just form a tag team, and you can form it with anybody. Like, you could have Hogan team up with Slaughter, or like fucking, you know, you could have Earthquake and Warrior. It doesn't matter. Pick any two people. And then you basically just go through a gauntlet where you fight the other teams. And then you end up fighting the Legion of Doom to become the world champ. And then I believe, and I never played it that much, I always ever played Royal Rumble mode, but like, I believe that you could keep going after you won the titles and like fight everybody again. But I'm not 100%.
Yeah,
that's
true.
Because they're obviously, they want you to keep playing, to keep taking your money, of course, right?
Well, of course. Yeah.
So that, like, I mean, I don't really have that much else. Like, I could care less about this mode. Like, it's basic tag team wrestling. Once you go for a pin, if you're playing alone, you can control the other guy to try to keep them from breaking up the pin. You could do tag, like double team moves, which was cool. But like, I don't know. I care about the Royal Rumble mode. I don't care about this mode.
Well, the other thing to mention, in this mode though, is that I think it was the match before the finals, because I remembered this and then I watched a video of it and found it. That you wrestled in the blue cage. The blue cage would be there, and one of the tag team matches would happen in the blue cage. So when you threw a guy off the ropes, he would smash into the cage all the time.
Oh, okay. Oh,
yeah,
that's pretty rad.
Like,
I don't remember that.
Yeah,
at all.
I don't remember, and I'm like 99% sure you couldn't go over the cage, you couldn't climb the cage, but you could just chuck a guy, and he would just smash into it.
Like, which, it was just there, yeah.
Yeah, like they threw it in there, which was, again, still really cool. And the funny thing is, like, the obviously it's the side to side view, like side screen view.
Yeah.
So the cage on the side, if you ever get a chance, look it up, is clear, so you could see into the ring. Like, they were doing this at this time.
Oh, yeah,
you know what
smart.
I mean? Like, you know what I mean? It wasn't all blue. They still could be able to do like what they do now in the PlayStation version of these games, is make it clear so you can see into the ring fully.
Right.
But yes, the blue cage was, I believe it was the semifinals, and then the finals My only complaint, yeah, you're right. This mode, if you were in, again, if you're in the arcade by yourself, you're skipping class or whatever, sure, you might throw a quarter in and try and see how far you can get. But it's lacking. And then, I don't know, like when you won, I know it's an arcade game, it would have been perfect for the port, but you still don't get to play as Animal and Hawk, which is kind of shitty.
Yeah, that always surprised me too, yeah.
But that's more of a, I guess that's more of a port thing. If that was on the Genesis, that probably would have said this was the way to unlock guys.
Yeah, I guess so.
That would be the clearly the best way to do it, I would think.
Because I don't know if I'd still call them my favorite tag team with teams like the Dudleys and the Hardys and stuff around, but like I fucking adored like LOD back in the day. They were so awesome. They were so awesome.
I love Demolition.
Oh fuck. All right, well, we'll get into this later. We'll do this on another podcast. Actually, I have no problem with Demolition either. I mean, they're not the New Day, but they're pretty good. If you're hearing this, you're probably a gamer. And for our kind, nothing is as precious and valuable as our save files. Have you ever experienced the loss of a save file? It's soul-crushing. Dozens, maybe hundreds of hours of work gone like that. But at the end of the day, it's a video game. It matters, but kinda, you know? That exact scenario, but with a work project, an essay for school, data for your business, that's no joke. That can be really serious. You need a safety net. And I got you, fam, with my partners over at CrashPlan. Visit CrashPlan.com/RTG for 50% off your first year of CrashPlan. CrashPlan has been protecting people's data since 2001. And a couple years ago, they set out on their own with one mission, to provide the best damn cloud backup solution on the market. CrashPlan runs quietly in the background of your computer or Mac, and every 15 minutes on the clock, they create a new backup of every file that's changed in that time. So if something goes wrong, God forbid, you don't lose hours, lose days, lose weeks of work. Just log into your account and you can download your most recent backup from the secure cloud servers. And there's not just one backup. There's a laundry list of them. You can pick and choose which one you want. It's like the ultimate undo button. If you work on a computer in any capacity, CrashPlan is a must-have. And if you're thinking, that's for big businesses, I'm just Joe Schmo. CrashPlan protects Joe Schmo. They offer a ton of plans and tiers. So there's a CrashPlan for everyone from small one-person businesses like me to you fancy businesses and offices with staff and free donuts and all that stuff. Time is money. Why wouldn't you protect your work? Spreadsheets, diagrams, videos, art, podcasts. CrashPlan has you covered. Don't let data disasters slow you down. CrashPlan has your back and keeps you moving. Go to CrashPlan.com/RTG for 50% off your first year of CrashPlan. That's CrashPlan.com/RTG for 50% off your first year. Back up better with CrashPlan.
I
could just hear you rattle.
Excellent.
And then there's the Royal Rumble mode. And I'm not going to lie to you, my friend. To this day, to this moment, that is my favorite mode in any wrestling game. Like, whenever I do, like, dude, me and my pals, like Chris and Dave, like, or whenever I would host, like, poker games and the guys come over, if we got eliminated, we'd fire up, like, WWE 2K, like, 15, 16, whatever the newish one was, and just play Royal Rumbles. Like, they are so much fun. They were fun on the Super Nintendo. Royal Rumble is made for video games. It's fucking perfect. Because if I'm not mistaken, in this game, if you get eliminated, you could drop another quarter in and play as the next guy that comes out.
Yes, you can.
Which is, there you go. That's why Royal Rumble mode is perfect. Because when you lose, you don't lose.
I can tell you this as a fact. I left that arcade at a young age and I stunk because I was sweating bullets, smashing those buttons, playing buddies. And just getting into the game so much. Again, we talked about, like, you mentioned about a year and a half ago at Denison when we were playing. You and I were screaming at this thing and smashing buttons trying to stay alive and help each other. And then so we could turn on each other and throw it, like, get tossed out. And we are in our 30s.
Yeah, dude.
To point out, still in our 30s.
For a little bit longer.
Exactly.
No, Royal Rumble mode, like... I mean, like, it's cool because you can keep playing. It's cool because you never know when someone's going to get eliminated. I think that most people would agree the most exciting thing about a real Royal Rumble match is the anticipation of who is next. Like, that's always, right? And that literally translates into video games. Even a video game with, like, a 12-man roster or a 10-man roster, whatever the fuck it is.
I have to tell you a quick story. A coworker of mine will go to a friend's house. They will gamble and fire up a Royal Rumble. And they will all place bets on wrestlers.
It's so much fun.
and they will sit there and they will watch. And he was, we were working, and his girlfriend sent him a message saying, "Okay, I've got The Rock." And she goes, "He just came out." And my buddy was like, "Well, what number was he?" 7. And he goes, first thing he said was, "Oh, she's fucked."
Right.
Like, that's, yeah, that, yeah. Because like, you're not, it ain't real wrestling, and The Rock's not pulling this off.
No. Video games. It's the best thing in the world. It's so much. And even like to play it on here. And what I loved about this game, and you already brought it up, is that when it was time for the next entry, because if I'm not mistaken, it could run 6 people on the screen at once. I'm pretty sure it could. You could play 4, but it could run 6. And so then when someone got eliminated, then the next wrestler would come down until they'd all been in and out, right? And like, what was so cool about this one, because like obviously it didn't have all their actual entrance music and all, I don't believe it did, and any of that stuff. No. They would do that little entry where they'd kind of just walk out through the, like, down the aisle. And look jacked.
And you would see it. And you would see it at the top.
Yeah, like in the Royal Rumble. Because like when you'd watch the old Royal Rumbles, that's what they would do, is they would show like that corner cam where the guy would like come running down the long hallway or whatever.
Yeah, and it would just be a black curtain.
Yeah, and they would come running down.
That WWE logo.
And that's what, and that's what this does, is like when it's time for the next wrestler, that little cutscene shows up and you see the wrestler coming down to the ring, like that little thing where they're looking at the camera and stuff.
Yeah.
That's so fucking cool. Like,
and how, it looks good.
It looks great. Like, it looks fucking awesome. And you never.
And the funny thing is, there's no, like, I know it's an arcade game, but there's no slow, like, obviously it's not on a CD and everything like that, but there's no change when there's chaos in the ring, when everybody's in there. And it's just punching each other, trying to throw guys off the ropes. It doesn't change the gameplay whatsoever.
Yeah, yeah. And then like, and there's still that like excitement where like when you like the buzzer, like when it's the next wrestler, and it's like, say it's like, say it's like Smash, and you're like, oh, okay. You know, because like you're like, whatever, that's a whatever wrestler. But then when it's Hogan or the Warrior or something, you're like, man. Like,
it's so much fun. The funny thing is, too, is like even when we were at that bar, we invited people to play with us to join in on the game that were much younger, and they were screaming at this thing. They don't know what's going on. They didn't know. Again, it's just one of those arcade games that, like you and I have discussed in these bars, there's always those four-way player games. Again, they're going to draw more tokens. They're going to draw more money. I still can't believe you thought of that. That didn't even cross my mind of why. Four-way play games generally were harder to do alone. Well, it makes sense, but the money-wise, it just didn't occur to me.
And that, like, and like, dude, I don't know, like, I never played Superstars, like the first version of this game. This is the only one I played, but I don't know if Royal Rumble mode had ever been put in a video game before this, and if it had, certainly not as well as this.
This is the first time. I don't even need to look that up.
And how smart is that? Again, if you're trying to get quarters out of people, every time you get eliminated from the Royal Rumble, by the way, pump in another quarter and you can play as the next guy. Like, you can just keep jumping into the same. I know you can only do it for like the 12 guys or whatever that are in it. One of the problems I do have with the Royal Rumble on here is that pins and stuff worked. Like, you could pin some, which, like, I mean, okay, whatever. I can look by it, because I guess the Royal Rumble as a whole was still kind of in its infancy back in 91. Like, that was still kind of, you know. But like, no, the Royal Rumble is over the top rope. Get the fuck. It's not a guy. Don't get the fuck out of here with that shit. Not game breaking. But
wasn't it also when you're gonna get tossed, they pick you up like a body slam, and what didn't you have to, if you hammered on the buttons, I think you could get out of it.
Yeah, I think you could. Yeah, it's like, because to me, that's always been the hardest thing about making a good Royal Rumble mode, is balancing the eliminations. Because you play the Royal Rumble on on No Mercy or on WrestleMania 2000 or something, and sometimes like it's just a random kick and your guy stumbles backwards and flips over the top rope, and you get so horrible. Fucking angry.
It's so horrible.
So that's a good segue then. If I had to criticize this game, my number one criticism of it is, and I don't know, and I'm not. For the record, it's a half criticism, because I'm not going to sit here and say I know how to make it better. I do find the controls in it weird and occasionally frustrating, and just very, like, it's limited. You have punch and kick, and depending on which way you push, punch or kick, and then how close you are to somebody, you can do different moves and stuff like that. And I think
that for the graphics wise and what you were doing, I think they were very limited in what they could do. But yes. Here's the thing, too, is about arcade games. It's kind of like listening to one of your past podcasts, which you could download again, by the way. is like when you were talking about Ghostbusters. I am sorry I didn't make that podcast, and fuck the vacuum, and it's bullshit. Going back to it though, is there was no instructions.
Yeah. And like, so and like,
it, like, because you remember you could hit your finisher, but I can't recall if it was like told.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. I always found the control. Like, even when you and I were playing this at the bar, like, I was having fun just mashing, punch, and kick. But I don't really know all of the control. I'm sure that if you like played it a few times, or maybe some of them had the like the instructions on the side or something like that.
Yeah. They used to have it a little bit of like a blurb, but I don't remember. I don't recall looking at it.
Yeah.
If you knew.
But again, you know, like they're new to it, right? Like, I mean, now it's easy for us to sit here and look at it and be like, well, why didn't they just use, like, I mean, the No Mercy controls would almost work with grapple and shit. Like, if you use a light grapple and a heavy grapple button and stuff like that. But like, this is 1991, right? Like, they were supposed to just make a, like, it's anyone could walk up, mash their way through and have some fun with it. And yeah. Like, I guess that is like, that is the primary hook to this game. Is that,
yeah.
I just always found the controls fucking weird. That was all. But I did love that everyone had their finisher. And if I'm not mistaken on this, you might know, I don't believe every wrestler just had to hold all of the same moves. Like, I think they did different moves and stuff like that.
Yeah. There was, Demolition would do the backbreaker.
Right.
There was certain moves that, like, I just remember the backbreaker being limited to certain guys. Like, you weren't seeing Ted DiBiase do it, I don't think.
And that's rad.
Because,
like, you, again, like, I keep going back to Royal Rumble, because that's the game from even close to this era that I know the best on the Super Nintendo. And it was, like, that sprite swap. And outside of, like, their finishing move, everyone had all the exact same moves. It was just,
Is that the one where they scanned, like, Lex Luger so it looked like Luger?
I don't think
so. Is that
so.
That craptastic, or that came later?
No, I think that's the WrestleMania one. This one didn't look like them at all.
when you, again, going back to looking at WrestleFest, like that early to mid 90s versions of some of these games are just shit.
Oh, buddy,
they lost their way.
There were a lot. I would say that even now, like, I don't know how many professional wrestling video games have been made over the history of video games, but like, it's got to be at least a 2-to-1 ratio of bad to good. Like, it has to be. The good are great, but the bad are fucking bad.
And they're in a bad mode right now. Yeah, they are.
I don't know how this game never got ported. This game was rad. I didn't realize this. They did release like a remake of it for like iOS and added.
Yeah,
like,
I downloaded it. It was fun for 5 minutes.
Yeah,
and then I was like, that's the sad part as we get older. But I will say this: that again, this arcade game does stand the test of time. It is in my top five.
Right.
Of arcade games that I still play to this day if I get a chance to.
Right, but now.
Go ahead.
Well, I was just gonna say, but now having said that, because I agree with you, but I feel the same way about like whenever I go to the arcade, if I see like the Turtles arcade games, like I play them, or the Simpsons game.
Let's just get it out of the way. What's your top five arcade games right now?
I don't even think I have them. Like, honestly, most of mine are probably like Pac-Man and Donkey Kong, and like, I mean, Miss Pac-Man is number one. And then I love Miss Pac-Man. Miss Pac-Man, probably regular Pac-Man, Turtles, the arcade game, probably the Simpsons, and then either this or Donkey Kong would probably be my five.
Yeah, mine are Gauntlet, Galaga, the Simpsons, and then Turtles, and then WrestleFest. WrestleFest is probably like that top five isn't even in order, but I still think it's between Galaga and that.
Right. But the thing is, like as you said, like, it's still playable today. It's still fun today. It's cool. Like, now it's got that. Like, I think wrestling nostalgia stands, like, I feel like wrestling has better nostalgia than most sports do. Like, it's just, we all love that, like, you know what I mean? Like, when a wrestler comes out now and that old music hits or whatever, we all get excited. And I could still watch old wrestling and love it. Whereas I have a hard time watching, like, old hockey now and stuff like that. You know what I mean? Like, the.
Yeah. No, I agree with you, because it's more of. I don't know, because hockey is real.
Right.
And you know what I mean?
Right.
There was just the mystery of like Papa Shango and Taker, and then in the 80s, looking at some of these guys just growing up being really young, like I've told you my Stampede Wrestling stories, right. Like just being able to watch that stuff. And we're seeing it now, though. Some of it is coming back where I'm finding myself liking, again, like there's so many different things in this genre of sports entertainment.
Yeah.
It's definitely, it changes, but you're right, though. It's not like old hockey. Old hockey is pretty bad.
It's awful. Whereas like old wrestling is still rad. And I feel like that about this game. I'm like, it's honestly, like, I would not shell out. I mean, to me, it'd be cool to have, but you'd have to be a diehard collector to shell out like $1,500 or whatever to get one of these cabinets, because you're not going to get that many hours out of it. You're just not. The novelty is going to disappear, and then it's going to be over. Like, to me, this is a perfect, and I feel the same way about it. I played the Simpsons arcade game a couple months ago at one of the arcades here in Edmonton, and after about half an hour, I was like, all right, like, I've had my, this was fun. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, and that's how I feel about this, too.
The thing is, as you know, and it's a tragedy, and I'm just going to mention it, with the Red Robins closing in Edmonton, I will say this, though. I would buy that Simpsons in the Red Robins at Whitewood Crossing. Just for this nostalgia of saying, one, I grew up playing this damn machine, because it is the original.
Right.
Screen's starting to go. And I would say, and it was just as a tribute to Red Robins itself.
Right. Like, yeah, they'd be hella fun to get your hands on. But I just, like, there's not a ton of meat on the bone. This is one of those ones that I've seen a lot of people bring up as, like, a potential arcade one-up, like, remake cabinet, like they just did with Turtles and the X-Men.
Yeah,
and stuff.
Yeah. Which, those are really, really cool.
They're fucking awesome. But there's licensing issues that, like,
it's never happening.
It's the same reason that, like, people that want to see a No Mercy on a Nintendo 64 Classic or something are never going to get it, okay?
Like, no, just, and, like,
there's too many likenesses you have to get your hands on that would be impossible to make it worth your while.
And as a segue to something that you and I are very excited about, is that wonderful WrestleFest sequel that we're finally going to get. They call it that, and they've been actually, the company that made the original game, the new one that's coming out has the blessing to use the name now from that retro. It's going to be fun. And if they do a one-up of that, though, that's cool, because 100%. that'll be with all those guys being licensed, this is the way I hope that it goes. And there's some things in the new game that I'm sure one day you and I will discuss that they can add to make the length of this game so much better, like a finishing move bar and just small things that use the buttons that are going to be on the Switch. Like, I'm not, like, this game, this new one that's coming out, I know it's changing topics, is going to be on all the major systems, and I don't want it on that. I want it on the Switch. I think it's built for the Switch, and it's just going to be perfect on that system for sure.
Yeah, it's funny. If you could take the developers of WrestleFest and drop them into today with the current video game systems and control schemes and stuff of today, like, yeah, what you could make would be, like, oh, fuck. Like, that 2K fucks it up as bad as they do is insane. Because those games were fun for a while, but now they're just, it's broken and awful and garbage.
Well, when you're giving refunds 2 months after your release digital downloads, you're a bad game. And two, you and I have discussed it. Again, dumbify it. Stop making this game. Like, one, on the next system, if you guys don't change the system drastically, again, we've talked about the fact that these game companies are now don't care, and they release it, they make their money, and they walk away. Those are facts that people need to get used to.
So I just read about it. In 2019, developer RetroSoft Studios acquired a license from Arc Systems Works, rights holder to the original arcade game, to dub their upcoming title Retromania Wrestling, the official sequel to WrestleFest. They don't have a WWE license, so it's going to feature wrestlers from various independent promotions and stuff. It's going to be rad. I'm very excited to keep my eye out for it. Before we score this thing and shut it down, my thought is that play it. If you see it somewhere, you're not going to get it. You can't buy it anywhere. Unless you can get like a ROM of it, you have no choice other than to play it at an arcade or at a restaurant or bar or something where you see it. If you're a wrestling fan, just drop a dollar. You know, just play it once. That's all you got to do. You'll enjoy it, even if you only play for 5 minutes. The colors are great. It's colorful. It's fun. Like, it's a fun experience. It'll take you back to being a kid for a minute. Don't be Hogan. Be someone good.
Also, you know he's one of the best in the game.
I know.
He's so terrible. I know he's terrible, too. It's fine.
Be a million-dollar man.
I agree with you on every point you just made, and if I will bet anybody $100 that you can't stand there and play with three buddies and not start screaming at it and smashing those buttons.
Of course not. That's the fun of it. So
yeah.
All right. So we're going to score this thing. There's 12 wrestlers in it. So on a scale of 1 to 12, how many wrestlers would you give WrestleFest?
That's a good score. Give it, you know what? For everything that is wrong or supposedly bad, this is in my Hall of Fame. I got to give it a 12. Like, I don't see anything really like, no, it's too much fun. You and I proved it a year ago. Too much fun.
It is. I'll give it a 10. It loses a point for not having all the Macho Man, and it loses a point for having the Ultimate Warrior. So,
wow,
and Hogan.
I
was getting it in there. I was gonna dock the point for the Warrior, but then I was like, well, I mean, the man has passed on, and should I be taking away a point just for a passed away man's rest? So I was like, all right, well, let's throw Hogan in there too, because he's still alive and still a piece of garbage. So
he sucked then, and he sucked when he's dead too. Warrior sucks.
10 out of 12. Good game. Brad, thanks for doing this. And as I'm going to say in the outro, I hope that the sound quality was good for you guys. Go play WrestleFest if you can. I promise, man. It's better than 2K20.
Really appreciate it. Thanks again.
Good job, buddy. And that's going to do it for this week's episode. Brad, thank you so much for coming on the show and talking WrestleFest with me. And to every single one of you gorgeous creatures out there listening to this podcast, thank you so much for supporting this stupid show. If you guys didn't mind the phone chat episode this week, please let me know. And if you did mind it, please let me know, because I care about what you guys think. And I'm trying really hard to improve the show, and I'm curious if this worked for you guys. Patreon.com/rememberthegame. I already explained it off the top. You guys, $2 a month, I'll give you all kinds of cool stuff. Twitter and Instagram are @rememberthegame, and as always, Facebook.com/rememberthegame. Please leave me a good review if you enjoyed the show. I don't know what the reviews do, but we haven't had a new review on iTunes in like 6 months. Please leave me a good review on there. Just 5 stars. Takes 3 seconds. I'd love it. And I'll be back next week, you guys, with episode 77 of Remember the Game. It's our retro gaming podcast. In the meantime, go play some vids, and I'll talk to you in a few days. Take it easy. Cheers.